The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to MilSpouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm also now the mom of an active duty son, a longtime writer for the military spouse world, and the author of the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. I created this podcast to bring you inspiration as you navigate your own military life, which can be amazing while also challenging. Whether you're dealing with a move, deployment, raising military kids, keeping your military marriage strong, or employment issues, we're going to talk about it. Military spouses, we're only stronger together. My goal is to bring you realistic hope and support for your own MilSpouse journey. So hello and welcome to episode 53 of the MilSpouse Matters podcast. I'm Jen McDonald, your host, and I am so glad that you took part of your day to join me. So welcome, whether it's your first time listening or you're a longtime listener, I'm really grateful that you are here, and I hope today will be encouraging to you. In fact, I know it will. I have a great guest. Just a reminder, you can find the complete show archive every episode at milspousematters.com. All you need to do is click the podcast tab and you can find a list of all the past episodes along with show notes, and the resources mentioned in every episode are always there for each episode's show notes and easy buttons to subscribe in whatever podcast player you're using. Of course, I would love it if you subscribed and left a 5-star review, as that puts the show in front of more listeners. It brings them up. It helps it become more visible. As well, if you have read my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, and you enjoyed it, I would love it if you went to Amazon and left a 5-star review or a 5-star rating and leave a review about what you liked about it. I'm also really enjoying readers and listeners tagging me on Instagram, showing me where they're sitting while they're reading the book or a special passage that they really enjoyed. That just encourages me so much. And I may have to do a little contest of where are you reading it. So keep it up. I really, really enjoy seeing that. Speaking of books, I am about 3/4 of the way through writing my second book. So I'm really hoping to finalize some things about that in the next few months, just kind of switching up who I'm publishing with. So little things behind the scenes that have made it take a little bit longer. But that is a book about military spouses' old and new experience, about how we have many of the same experiences, and it's featuring interviews with widows from the Air Force Enlisted Villages, Bob Hope Village down in Florida, along with modern day spouses. So it's sort of a Julie and Julia, if you watch that movie, sort of thing, going back and forth between Vietnam era, Korean War era spouses with modern day, and just all the things that we've been through and can learn from each other. And I really hope that it will be an encouragement to you. It's been encouraging me to just go through the interviews and, you know, very emotional in a lot of ways. So if you are a praying person, I would appreciate your prayers, because I do all of that in this podcast, in addition to also working nearly full time for a great company called Military by Owners. So there's a lot going on, and yeah, I'm just trying to get to it all. So I hope wherever in the world you are, that you are doing great, and let me know what you would like to see. We are nearing the end of this season. I pretty much have every episode planned out, but I may do another listener Q&A. So if you have any questions for me, one really great place to connect with me is on Instagram. Yeah, just be looking there and we can chat. And if you have any topic ideas or you know somebody that would be a great guest, then just reach out to me. And that brings me to today's guest. As I'll mention when I'm talking with him, listener Crystal McKnight reached out to me on Instagram and just said, you know, this person I know would be an amazing guest, and I would love for him to come on your show. And so she kind of introduced me to him via email, and we brought Bryce on the show. He is a Navy spouse and is talking about really kind of his reluctant beginnings to being a military spouse. He and his wife had been married for nearly 10 years when she decided to go into the Navy. And so what I love about this interview is the fact that Bryce is just extremely honest about what that looked like, the toll it took on their marriage and some of the stresses that it placed on their marriage, and how he moved forward through that and has really embraced military life. And I think a lot of you will relate to that, because it's not always sunshine and rainbows, as we know, but it's also not always challenging. There's a lot of great things about military life and military spouse life. So his perspective as a male military spouse is one part of it, but I think the overarching theme is protecting your marriage and getting through deployment and deciding to do this as a team. So he has a lot of great thoughts. He's a funny guy, and I really think you're going to enjoy this episode and this talk with my guest, Bryce Langley. So he does not have social media, and if you want to follow up with him or get in touch with him, you can reach out to me and I will put you in touch with him. You can email me at jen@jenmcdonald.net, and I will connect you with him if you have any questions, or on social media, just shoot me a message and I will connect you with him if you have questions or feedback or anything you want to let him know. So he also mentioned that even though he does not really have public social media, he wanted to recommend a group called the Military Spouse Advocacy Network. And that's an organization dedicated to mentoring military spouses. And he highly recommends you connect and network with them. The Military Spouse Advocacy Network has older, more seasoned spouses mentor those who are newer. It includes all branches of the military, including the reserves and National Guard. You just simply fill out a survey and they pair you with someone. And as he says, you do life together. He's made several friends in this network and received a lot of guidance during his time as a military spouse. So we will link to their site, which is militaryspouseadvocacynetwork.org, as well as their Facebook page. So we've got lots of other good things coming up this season. I'm really excited to be bringing you some guests, as well as talking about dealing with the holidays, far from family, or during deployment. So I'm looking forward to sharing those episodes with you. One little note about this interview, there was some clicking in the background that we were not able to remove. We did our best. I don't think it's going to be too much of a distraction from the great talk we had, but just a note that I'm aware it's there, and yeah, just to kind of warn you. But anyway, all that said, thanks so much for listening, and let's get on to my talk with Bryce Langley. So hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Today, I am being joined by Navy spouse Bryce Langley, and it was suggested that I have him on the podcast by listener Crystal McKnight. I connected with Crystal on Instagram, and she sent me a note and said that he was fabulous and I needed to talk to him. So a little bit about Bryce. Bryce Langley was born to an Army family at Fort Bragg in 1982. After graduating high school, he worked in restaurants and then switched to AutoZone, where he's currently employed. He married Tracy in 2007 and became a military spouse in 2016 when she joined the Navy. In her nearly 4 years of service, they've already been through 3 PCS moves. They have 3 beautiful children and currently are stationed in Florida. He says that his hobbies include bourbon, cigars, Death Wish coffee, cooking, being the treasurer of the FRG, and trying to be the best husband I can be. So welcome, Bryce.
Good afternoon.
I'm so glad to have you here. This season, it's been really fun to have guests who are in all different stages of military spouse life. So I'm glad you're joining me today to share some of your perspective as a military spouse, not only as a male military spouse, but a spouse of a few years after having been married for some time. So I know that it says you were born to an Army family. So let's talk about some of your experience as a military spouse so far, and even the switch from being a military kid to a spouse, and maybe some of the surprises with that.
Oh yeah. We betrayed the entire family whenever we went Navy. It was funny. Like, my dad is retired Special Forces. Her grandfather's retired Special Forces. Her dad's retired Special Forces, and she went Navy. It was hilarious. Yeah.
My husband's dad was Army, and my husband was in the Air Force. And no disrespect to Army, but he always said that's why he went into the Air Force. Sometimes I think you do the opposite of whatever you were raised with.
Well, my dad looked at her and was like, what in the world? She goes, well, I want to work smart, not hard. He goes, really? You haven't even left for boot camp and you're already starting. Okay. All right.
We all do it, don't we?
Yeah.
So do you remember much about being raised in the military, or was your dad like on his way to retirement when you were young, or how did that all work?
I have one memory of entering, I don't want to say barracks, wherever it was my dad worked. And I remember being dressed up in camo, and that was it. They were going to send him on a 2 or 3 year unaccompanied tour to Turkey, to Izmir, Turkey. And he decided that he didn't want to do that, that I was young. He didn't want to put the family through that for a 3 year separation. So he opted to retire.
Well, I can't blame him. That's a long time.
He was told that it was going to be an honor. He goes, no, I don't think so. Yeah.
I will pass up this honor.
Pretty much.
Oh, wow. So you don't really have like a life of moving around and a perspective as a military, quote, brat at all.
I got that shotgun blast in 2016.
So how long had you been married when she went into the Navy?
We were at nine or 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So we had a pretty solid foundation, which we had being outside of Fort Bragg, we had a lot of military in our church. And so we had a particular older couple that are retired Air Force, Chad and his wife, Tammy, that really took us under their wing and started guiding us in preparation. And what Chad told me was a military family will either come out stronger in the end or it can end up being broken if you allow it to go that way. And he said, you know, keep your nose to the grind in the times that she leaves, you know, do what you got to do. And you'll come, he said, the entire family, he goes, it's going to hurt at the time. He goes, but they come out stronger.
It's true. Yeah. And your kids are how old?
Right now I have an 11, a 10, and a 8-year-old.
So they were pretty young when you first started the military life journey.
But they handled it well. They struggled a lot, especially in schooling, just because we had, whenever she joined in 2016, the whole plan was to wait to join her wherever her first duty station was. And one of her chiefs told her, in fact, a couple of her chiefs told her that was not necessarily a good idea. They said, because you're going to be up here for about a year, and then you're going to go to a C school for about 6 to 7 months. And there's no telling if you're going to be on hold. And if whenever you hit that first duty station, you may instantly be put out to sea. He goes, I would advise you. He goes, your plan is fine, but it just accounts for everything going right. He said, I would advise you to keep the nuclear family together. He goes, if you had teenagers, that'd be one thing. He said, your children need mom.
Yeah. That's awesome, because a lot of times you don't hear that story. It sounds like they were really looking out for you guys as a family, and that's really good. You know, I wouldn't say it's rare, but you kind of hear more of the other side sometimes.
Well, negativity loves to flourish. People like, you know,
oh, sure.
the attaboys no one cares about.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
It's true. Well, I'm really glad that they were looking out for you guys. So as you moved into military life, I'm sure you had a preconception about it, and maybe talk about what was surprising to you.
So to be completely honest, I never wanted it. We were in a Bible study called Experiencing God, and it was led by Chad, oddly enough. And he said that, you know, in this Bible study, every single time God pulls someone out of the church to go somewhere. So I was taking bets on who it was going to be. Not us.
Oh gosh.
And so as we were getting, you know, I had seen, grew up at Bragg. I had seen the military, which I now understand in a different light. I had seen the military rip apart families.
Right.
And it was not something that I ever wanted. And so, man, I'm getting emotional talking about it. Good Lord. So whenever, you know, in my book that I still have, you know, what is God saying to you? God's saying to let go. I'm like, okay, what am I going to let go of? You planning on answering this question for me, Lord? Like, where am I at? What am I supposed to be letting go of?
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, Tracy called me while I was at work. She goes, I'm sitting outside the Air Force recruiter's office. I'm like, oh, oh, wow. Okay. And she goes, they won't take me. I'm like, oh, okay. And she goes, I'm going Navy. She goes, I'm going to go talk to the Navy recruiters. I'm like, you can't swim. You don't like large bodies of water and you're allergic to shellfish. She goes, yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense, right? I'm like, no, it really doesn't. She goes, yeah, I'll talk to you later. I love you. Bye. And click. I'm like, okay.
Wow. And what was behind that decision, that motivation to go into the military? Had you talked about it?
We had, and it was a point of contention. And in the second year, like, we almost didn't make it. Our marriage almost fell apart, and it was due to, you know, both of us just having a lot of scars, and it came down to our determination to, you know, Tracy came in one day, we had had a particular bad fight, and she said, I don't care what you do, I'm going to take my daughter, I'm going to join the Air Force, and you can go do whatever it is that you want to do with your life. And so at that point, my mentor at the time, are you done trying? He goes, you need to submit. And he's like, I want you to read 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. He goes, and I want you to start living it. He goes, if you want your marriage, you got to fight for it. He goes, and you got to get over and let God do what he's going to do. And so that began a 4-year process of between the two of us healing a nearly destroyed marriage. And Grant, I mean, now we have a very strong marriage, and you know, I've been married to the woman 13 years, and she walks into a room and I get butterflies. Like, it's like we make people sick, and that's great. Wouldn't have it any other way. But that moment of I'm going to take my child and go was in my mind, and it burned in my mind.
Yeah.
Even all the way up until I was very nervous, and she left for boot camp, and, you know, I was crushed. Kids were crushed, you know, at 3 days later, I had the routine down. Like we were good to go. Like we, you know, I got us into a routine, everything, man, that thing, that statement was in the back of my mind the entire time. And Chad, you know, told me, he said, this is the proving ground. He goes, do you trust your wife? I'm like, I do. He said, then allow it to be proved. He goes, and you're going to be fine. Do one task at a time. He said, you're looking way too far down the road and you're getting overwhelmed.
That's such good advice for all of military life. And I really appreciate your honesty, because I think this isn't talked about enough. You see Instagram, you see social media, and you see like, oh, this is these amazing families, and you're like over there struggling, and you think, and that's part of the reason I started this podcast. That's part of the reason I wrote my book and why I do what I do, because people need to know this is hard. Yes, it can become incredible, but there's a lot you have to walk through to get to that point sometimes. And so I really appreciate you sharing that.
The very first devotional I got was one by a lady named Jen McDonald. You were the very first devotional. Your devotional helped give me perspective and get me through it. So thank you for what you did. Like, and I thought it was kind of funny whenever I got contacted by the very... the very lady that was like, I'm like, dude, is this real? No, this is real.
That's so amazing. That makes me want to cry. Like, you know, because you do these things. Are you talking about the book or the, I have a devotional too. You're talking about the book?
Yeah, the devotional. I did the devotional.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I release that, I honestly, there's such a vulnerability about sharing such personal moments. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, if it helps one person, it's absolutely worth it.
It helped me. I appreciate it.
And is totally worth it, because there's something scary about putting that out there. Thank you for sharing that. I can't tell you how much that means to me. And I think for you, as far as your marriage goes, that step of surrender, of kind of giving up what you thought was going to be and letting God do his work, that is a theme. It's more than we can even try to figure out on our own. And it's important to remember that. I'm glad that you've said that, because, you know, that's a good reminder for all of us in our marriages. I've been married for 32 years and I'm still learning that lesson.
It was interesting because she was in the nursing program before she left, and we ended up failing twice in a row, and that you can't redo it. And both times she failed was because she got really sick. And like, they only have 3 tests in a semester, and if you do bad on one, it just sinks you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were kind of upset. You know, it's like, God, we felt like you brought us here. Why? You know, why did we, mm-hmm. through no fault of our own? And one of the things was my wife became a ghost at the house. So she was doing clinicals and studying, and mm-hmm. it was my basic training phase of taking over the house.
Yeah.
And running the household. And so whenever we left to go join her in Illinois, I was ready.
Yeah, you'd already been through your own version of it. Well, and you went from, sounds like, the least resistant to the whole idea to being very involved now. So there's a lot of in-between time there. So I'm curious, what made you decide to connect with other military spouses and reach out and become involved?
Well, whenever I was talking to Chad about it, and he goes, what's the problem? I'm like, I don't want to do this. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, I don't want to is not in the Bible. He said, is God calling you to, he goes, if God's talking to your wife, he's talking to you. He goes, mm-hmm. what's your objections? He said, what are the red flags? I'm like, the only red flag I have is I don't want to. He said, then that's not good enough. You need to surrender. I'm like, okay. I'm like, so if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. I'm like, I'm not going to go, and I'm not going to be one of those guys that stand outside of Sephora, you know, while my wife goes in. I'm not going to do that guy. And if I'm not going to be that guy, you know, while she's doing what she loves in makeup, then I'm also not going to be that guy that does that while supporting her career. So I'm going to choose to be as involved as I can in the family readiness group. Mm-hmm. And I've met some amazing people. Like, we've got a really good support structure in this command. Whitney, Crystal, and Julia, those are my 3, you know, partners in crime, as you know, we make up the FRG board for the Philippine Sea. We've had a really good experience.
That's great.
You know, we've had our struggles because I am a man, and I think completely and 100% differently than everyone else. And, you know, it's led to some struggles. It's led to some conflict. But, you know, one of the tests of being an adult is the ability to deal with that and move past it, figure out what we can do better, even if no one meant mm-hmm. to do anything wrong.
Right.
I think we've had a really good, and that was the whole reason I connected. It's like, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to be a cheerleader, you know, as horrifying as an image as that is, if I'm going to be a cheerleader for my wife, I need to be all in and not be that reluctant person out in the corner, you know, folded arms, huffing and puffing that I'm here against my will. Like, if I'm going to do it, let's do it. I'm going to be the best I can be at it.
I love that. And I think your positivity and sense of humor, that will carry you far. I really think that is the magic combination. And I can see that in you. So I love that. Well, and you alluded to being a male spouse.
Yeah. That is the rumor.
That is. So what ways have you found it challenging to connect with other military spouses, or has it been challenging? And maybe some of the misconceptions as you as a male spouse walking into a group have you faced?
Well, when we were up in Illinois and not calling anyone out, because I was very welcome. But when I walked in there, to the one event they were having, everything was very feminine, you know, effeminate, and that's fine. I was the only drop of testosterone in that building. So it was awkward. Like, I wanted to be involved, but you know, where we're taking pictures is, you know, there's flowers everywhere and everything's pretty, and you know, all the door prizes are, oh, you can go to Starbucks. I'm like, dude, I'm not that kind of coffee. You know, you can go to Starbucks. We have stuff to get your nails done. You go to the spa, you know, and even though my wife has started to convince me to go get my nails done and take care of my feet, because they'll, you know, massage those calves, but
it feels so good.
Oh my goodness. And pull the calluses off the bottom. I had no idea that a stone would do that.
See, you've been missing it.
So, but you know, it was awkward because even though I didn't, you know, I had five or six ladies come up, you know, oh my goodness, thank you for coming. You know, mm-hmm. you know, if you ever need anything, I didn't feel unwelcomed, at least at that particular event, but I did feel very odd.
Well, the atmosphere wasn't welcoming, like overall. It wasn't geared towards being inclusive. It was very ladies oriented, it sounds like.
It was, but I don't want to make it sound like I was not welcome, like, or that it was just a, oh my gosh, why is he here? No, it was just that I do not feel like I belong here. Like this is, I'm stepped into the wrong room.
Yeah. And I think spouses groups can do better. They complain that they want, well, see, I can say all this now because we're out and I was involved with spouses groups for years. They'll complain that they want the male spouses, but then, you know, everything is bunco or these little swirly fonted invites. And like you said, pink and or little black dress nights. And you can have all those, but you also need something else if you are wanting all spouses to feel welcome. I feel really strongly about that.
Yeah.
So I am right there with you. In fact, I had a little showdown one time with another leadership spouse. We were at an event, like a spouses conference, and they were talking about this. And somebody said, you know, we're trying to get the male spouses to come out. And she said, well, what do they want us to do? Roll out the red carpet? And I think I might have emailed this to you. And I said, I was so mad. I was like, just make it welcoming. They need to feel welcome if you actually want them to come. So you can't just throw out an invite and that's it. So we started doing some like tailgate parties and they did some football frenzy and things like that I didn't necessarily care about. But there's a lot of ladies that like that kind of thing too.
Yeah.
So just making it more all inclusive, different types of activities. We're in 2020. It's way past time for that to happen.
Yeah. Even in our FRG now, I was very concerned about trying to reach out just because, you know, all it takes is a rumor. That's all it takes is one rumor. And I finally hit a BS point. Not that there was BS going on, but I just hit a point with myself. I said, I don't care anymore. Like if I do this anymore, I'm going to be alone. And I have some guy friends, but not really, you know, not in anywhere connected with the FRG. So I just posted on the FRG page. I said, hey, I'm into bourbon. Not getting smashed, but you know, just take, you know, anyone that's really into bourbon knows that it's about the taste and, you know, dissecting flavors. I'm like, is there anyone out there that's interested? I'd be doggone if we didn't have four or five ladies go, hell yeah, I'm interested in that.
Like, that's awesome.
And so now we just gorge on awesome food and then sip a little bit. And, you know, it was a great experience. And I decided that I wanted to have friends. And, you know, if they are female, then I'm okay with that. The one thing that is that I know I drive Whitney crazy with it is she hasn't done it in a while, maybe because I've overplayed my hand. But whenever she started with, hey, ladies, I'd be like, oh, I see it.
Yeah.
She's, oh, my gosh, I'm not talking. I'm like, oh, I see. I'm not welcome. She goes, no, you know.
But you know what, though? Yeah. Or military wives. I had a friend show me an invitation to a military wives coffee. And I said, are you serious? It's not 1955 anymore. I couldn't, like, it was sent out officially to their unit. I said, well, even if you just have one male spouse, first of all, I just, it's military spouse.
Yeah.
Is what it should always be to me. But, you know, yeah. And I love it that you're joking with her, but it's a good reminder. It's that little nudge of, hey, we've always done it a certain way. Let's do it in a more inclusive way.
Well, it's not even just that. It's in the merchandise too. It took me forever. Yeah. I still do not have a Navy husband shirt that fits. Now, granted, part of that's because I'm a big dude and no one likes to sell 3X for some reason. But like whenever you went up there, they had, you know, Navy uncle, Navy wife, Navy aunt, Navy, and they had Navy girlfriend. It took me
for, but not Navy.
Nothing for Navy husband.
Oh my.
Except
God. Sounds like you need to create it.
Right. Except a yellow cup. I'm like, why did they make this yellow? Why did they make this cup yellow? It's blue and yellow. Like, come on, put a skull on it or something. Just to reach across the aisle.
That's funny. See, you can start your whole business. There's your side hustle.
Yeah.
Navy husband.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Well, you had mentioned to me that you're and talked about that your family has been through several separations, including deployment. So I'd like to take a couple of moments for you to share some of your tips for getting through deployment, because we talked about that before we recorded over email, and you had some great tips for couples. So if you would mind sharing a few of those.
First off, I would definitely say try your best to connect to the family readiness groups, to those groups, like, especially if you have one that's really good or really, at least really trying. That is the important thing. Like, mm-hmm. Now, if it's a Mean Girls Club, you got to do what you got to do. But, you know, if it's
right,
just do what you got to do, you know, connect in, plug in. Everyone in that group is in the same situation you are. So to me, there's no better. If you need to have a meltdown, if you need to vent, if you need to, whatever it is that you need to do, people within that group know exactly what you're going through, and you're not talking a different language to someone who has no idea or will respond to, well, you signed up for this, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I would say the next thing that I see that is the and something that Tracy and I did, we worked out a budget before she left. And we blew that budget immediately. but we made the attempt. We're on it now. Because as we were preparing for the deployment, she's like, you know, I've got to get this and I got to get this. I'm like, all right. So we got all that. And I will never underestimate deployment shopping again. Good Lord. Like, that was rough. And then she gets on the ship and, you know, they hang around for a little bit. She's like, hey, I'm going to go purchase some music. I'm like, okay. And $250 later, I'm like, good Lord, woman. She goes, I just need this. I'm about to be gone. I'm like, I feel you, but you can't, like, you got to stop. Like, man. But I've talked to people and, you know, you see posts of they hit a port and they, you know, their sailor who has been, you know, in no way am I bashing it whatsoever. You know, their sailor's been cooped up on that ship. They want to go eat. They want to go get coffee. They, you know, and all of a sudden you're running red into the negative because you didn't have a plan. And so,
right.
Finance, you know, as Dave Ramsey has pointed out, you know, finances is the number one killer to marriages. And your marriage, the marriage is already right. under stress because we're separated. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're across the you know, not even across the continent, you're across the world.
The world.
And I'm alone, right. you're alone, you're trapped on a, you know, a giant tin can, you know, going around the oceans. I'm trapped here with, you know, the pressures of life, you know, the children, work, all this stuff. Everyone needs to have the plan because it also sets you free. If I have a plan mm-hmm. and I know that I have $30 that I can spend on me and not have to answer to anyone, then I can act freely within that budget. And so,
yeah, it takes away the constant right, decision making.
Absolutely. So, you know, with Tracy being on, you know, on deployment, as we set out the budget, you know, I definitely gave her a massive spin just because she's going to be under a lot more stress than I am. So I'm like, you know, listen here, you know, this is what you get every paycheck. This is it. This is your play money. You don't have to answer for it. You do what you want. And, you know, and I have makeup arriving. I'm like, it's great. You know, do what you got to do. You know, I see new songs post up and, you know, makeup arrive and that kind of stuff. That's, hey, you do you, boo, go for it. Like, if this helps you, this helps you cope, you go for it. Just stay within that budget and I'll stay within my budget. And whenever you come home, we're not going to be hurting.
Right. Or second guessing every decision. I think that was one of the things that we went through a couple times where, not just with money, sometimes with money, but it's the coming home part. I get a lot of questions about the reintegration part. And I think no matter how prepared you are, it's still going to be difficult, but it's better to be prepared. But I remember, you know, he would come home and whatever decision I'd made for the previous year, because you're just trying to make it through mm-hmm. and get your kids through, and suddenly being questioned and going, okay, you don't get to question that. You know, I just did what I had to do. And you learn some grace and letting things go that just don't matter. But yeah. Being prepared is a good
choosing thing. The right things to make a stand. Like if you have a bunch of scattered bodies mm-hmm. around the altar of I'm right, then you haven't, like, you can win an argument, but if you lose a relationship, was it worth it? I mean, is it, some things just are not worth having a fight over, but just going, you know what, whatever, it's cool.
Yeah. The relationship is more important than being right.
Right.
A lot of times. There's very few times that it's more important to be right. I would say, yeah.
Thank God I lost my marriage, but doggone it.
I was right.
I was right. Man, I feel good. No, that ain't gonna. The art of fighting is the art of reconciling. At least it should be, not winning.
Right. Well, kind of alluded to communicating and whether deployed or not. I know you've been married over a decade, and I think that you could probably share some good tips for communicating with between military couples.
Okay. First one I would say is 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. And I mean that with all of my heart. You do not have to be religious to, and this is the one that gets glossed over because it's used at weddings. It's like, oh, love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't remember wrongdoings. It is a lot. That is put into a different perspective whenever you actually start applying it. Well, what happens whenever they're not kind? And it doesn't matter what they're doing. You don't remember what they did. You be kind. You be patient. You know, and, you know, you commit to long suffering. You know, my pastor used to say patience is with things and situations. Long suffering is with people because you have to suffer long with them. And it's same thing. You know, you take those principles, whether or not you're religious or not, and you apply them. And number one, you will see a big difference. Two, get finances will kill your marriage. Get a plan, get a budget, save for the future, and put away for your retirement. You got to start thinking about it now. Third thing is, and this is for guys, stop trying to fix everything. Like, it is something, and it's not meant to be an insult. Our natural tendency is to try to fix it. And most of the time when your wife is having a meltdown or is going on about, she does not want your opinion on the matter. She just wants you to listen. And I mean, I would say the vice versa of ladies is like, if your man or, you know, if a man, you know, if you're dating or even if you have a good friend, if he confides in you to open up, don't abuse that. Because there's too many men that have been burned by the abuse of information and, you know, talking and chattiness. And, you know, men need to learn how to listen. And and that's a big thing, is listening to actually hear what they're saying, not listening so they can take a break and you can jump in. You're not listening. You're still trying to fight. The goal of a fight should be to reconcile. The goal of any conflict, let's not go with fight. The goal of any conflict should be to reach reconciliation. And if you got to compromise, you got to compromise. It's better to save the relationship than die on the altar of I'm right.
Yeah, I love that. That's very wise. I'm really glad you shared that.
I would also say build in vent points. You need, just because you got married and had kids, do not stop dating. Like, build in vent points. Someone needs to go watch the kids and then y'all go out and learn, because otherwise you're going to turn around 20 years later and you're not going to know who you're married to. Build in the vent points.
And I would add to that, just, you know, as a family of faith, even if you don't do things perfectly, if you are both seeking God and letting him fill in those gaps with grace, I can attest to that part of it, because you can look back and go, wow, I should have done this better or that better. And I just think God was so faithful to us, just kind of plugging away and staying in there. Sometimes that's all you can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you already talked about that a little bit. Sometimes just hanging on, it's not a lot of fun at the moment, and you are just faithful. And I truly believe that God blesses your faithfulness.
The one thing I would say in relation to that is those who are people of faith, remember that God is not on the ride with you, surprised to all the twists and turns. Like, he, you know, when we almost lost Josh whenever he was born, and it's like, man, so glad God was with us. And it's like, yes, that's correct. But God created the situation as well. He was there. He knew what was going on. He wasn't at the finish line was just going, "Whoa, that was rough.
What just happened?
What just happened?" You know, he was there. He was there waiting for us at the finish line going, "Good job. You made it through."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
and when things don't turn out the way you wish, he's still there.
Right.
We've been through some rough stuff as a family with our extended family this year. And you just, I don't know how people without faith get through these times. I'm very thankful that we have that faith, because that's really brought us through 2020 mm-hmm. in every way. So, yeah, not to get too serious, but I think that's a good reminder, because military life is hard.
Yeah, it certainly
is. It's a lot of fun, but it's not without some huge challenges. So, before we get to closing, I wanted to make sure I give you enough time if you had anything else you wanted to share, like tips for military spouses or male military spouses or just overall.
I would probably say the biggest tip I would say is, number one, be involved in your FRG and connect. And then my next thing would be to FRGs, like to the actual FRG leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gotta, like, if you are wrought with pettiness, it's gotta be expunged and expelled. Like this, the time for Mean Girls Club or, you know, the boys only, that's gone. Like, we need to be in this, but all together, there for each other. Let's go do life together. Let's have fun together. Let the pettiness go, like, and just focus, you know, build into people's lives and, you know, build out and serve.
Yeah. It can be such a positive force when it's done well. I've seen it. I've had a couple spouses tell me that it literally saved their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They were suicidal or they're going through a really rough time, and having the support of other spouses during deployments and tough times, it just was immeasurable to them. So totally agree. It can be such an amazing thing when it's done right. So
I've talked to a spouse that said that, you know, she and I had some hot conflict over FRGs, and she's like, you know, they're just filled with fill in the word and, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. all the nastiness and all the, and then as she got into ours, she realized we weren't like that. And one of the best compliments I had from her was she said, "I want to say that I'm sorry." She goes, "Because I see this FRG and it is nothing like anything I have ever experienced. And it let me know that we were doing the job. We were doing it right." So as flawed as I am, as flawed as the other FRG leadership is, and everyone, you know, as flawed as everyone in the FRG is, because, you know, we're all made of clay.
Right.
We're doing it right.
That's awesome. And you can all go forward from there to other bases and keep spreading
right.
that goodness and just keep it going.
Yep.
You know,
keep it going.
Yeah. Well, before we close, I am going to be doing this quick five. So it's fun facts that people wouldn't know about you, to let listeners learn another side of you that you'll just answer real quick.
Okay.
So there's five questions and here we go.
All right.
So Bryce, the first one is, I feel like I'm on a game show right now. Lead in music. So Bryce, number one, what is your best mil spouse memory so far?
The best mil spouse memory. So far, I would say we went on a Chiefs run. We participated in the Chiefs run up in Illinois while we were there. And my little 8-year-old boy kept up and ran 2.5 miles with mom. Now, granted, I brought up the rear. Bryce Langley doesn't run to anywhere except the dinner table. So, but it was a really good event. And it was one of the highlights of just good vibes and good feeling of we're doing Navy stuff as a family, despite the fact we're not working on the radar with her, but, you know, we're doing this, and this, it really felt really good.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Number two, and I'm interested to hear your answer to this one. If you were on a deserted island and could only bring two foods along with you, what would they be?
Carrots and a chicken. Carrots and chicken. If I had carrots and chicken, oh, wow. I think I would be good to go. Like, yep. I do not have a beer belly. I have a chicken graveyard held in by a leather fence.
I feel like you've said that before. I love it. I love it. I've never heard that one. I'm going to have to tell my husband that one. Okay. third question is, what three words describe you best?
I would go with beard. Let me see. What else would I go? Man, I don't know why I'm such a deer in the headlight with this. There are so many words going through my head.
This is reminiscent of an icebreaker out of spouses group, is
yes,
it not?
Yes, it is. And I'm just, I'm caught and I don't know why.
Well, I'll give you a minute.
I would like to think that I am genuine. I would probably say beard, just because everything about me revolves around my beard. It's mm-hmm. it's my wife's beard. It's just on my face. Yeah, I cut it for COVID, and that was a problem in the house. So beard, genuine, and probably loud. I'm not really that much of a silent person.
So people know when you come into a room.
People know when I come into a room, and it tends to be either love or hate. Like there doesn't tend to be a lot of middle ground with me and my personality. And my wife will say that. She goes, people either love you or they hate you.
Aw, or maybe you're an acquired taste.
Yeah, I'm very much an acquired taste.
Well, we talked about some of your interests, but what is one interest or hobby you have that people might be surprised to hear?
Interest and hobby. I love and am trying to go to school to be an archaeologist. I love the earthwork structures here in the United States that are along the Mississippian basin. We have a lot of them. 90% of them have been destroyed due to development and whatnot. But we have like places like Cahokia and Poverty Point and the Etowah Mounds and these things. Like some of them have been here since. In fact, there's one I believe that's in Mississippi or Louisiana or something like that that was built at the same time that the pyramids were built. There was another one that was built at the, 1,000 years ago. It's like, who was here building stuff?
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
So I love the stars and, knowing their astronomical alignment and how they relate to the earthwork structures and that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. I'm a dork and I fully embrace it.
That's okay. All right. Final question for all the money.
All right.
If you won the lottery, what would be the first thing you'd buy?
I would go buy a cigar and a shot of bourbon and just relax and take it all in. Before I did anything else, I would need to think, have a small little celebration in my head, but I would have to figure out exactly what I'm about to do. And I would start with a cigar and a glass of bourbon and call it a day.
Is there a certain type of bourbon that you would treat yourself to?
My favorite bourbon, at least as far as on a standard level, is Maker's Mark 46.
Okay. Well, I love that. Well, I know you don't really have public social media. So listeners, if you have any questions or feedback for Bryce, just send me a note and I will get it to him. But in the meantime, Bryce, I am so glad you came on and shared part of your story with us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Yeah. And did you have anything you wanted to add before we close?
Especially if you're going through a deployment, know that you're not alone and just focus on the next task in front of you. 1 hour on top, just get through the next hour, get through the next task, and then focus on your next task, and then focus on your next task. And don't look too far down the road or you'll get overwhelmed. Just focus on what's right in front of you and get through that first, and then focus on the next thing.
That's good advice. Well, thank you again for joining me. And listeners, I hope you enjoyed our talk. And until next time, I hope that you're doing great wherever in the world this finds you. Thanks so much for listening. And thank you again, Bryce.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to the MillSpouse Matters podcast. Connect with me at millspousematters.com or on social media as @MillSpouseMatters. You can find my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, on Amazon and other booksellers. Love the show? Please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcast player you're listening, and then share it with someone else who could use it too. Until next time, have a great week.